Turn in our reading this evening in the book of the Epistle of Paul to the Philippians, chapter 3. The third chapter of the Epistle of Paul to the Philippians. For the benefit of friends not with us this morning, may I just mention again the home call of our dear friend John Tavern. The Lord called to himself during the Thursday night last. The funeral is to take place on Wednesday next, and there will be a service, God willing, at Appleton Church at 2:15, conducted by the vicar, Mr. Tuckwell, in conjunction with myself, and the interment will follow at Abingdon Cemetery after that. Any friends who desire to be present at Appleton, let us know. There will be available space in cars to take you and bring you back, of course. You'll just let us know this evening. I won't say further than that, but I shall have a word to say at the service on Wednesday. With regard to our dear friend, I would only say this, as I said this morning, to me, it will be a joy to lay him to rest in sure and certain hope of the glorious resurrection. Now to the word of the Lord. As he may enable, I would ask you to turn with me again to the second book of Kings in the fourth chapter and in the centre of verse 26. The second book of Kings at chapter 4 in the centre of verse 26. Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, it is well. This morning, having looked a little at the background, as it were, underlying this question and the need of it, then following on a little to notice something of the searching inquiry that is embraced in these words. I won't enlarge upon that, but seek as enabled to direct your minds a little further first into the consideration that here we have a solemn inquiry. Searching, yes, but solemn. The question, my dear friends, that only God can speak, of course, and enable you and I to answer. But it's a question that comes to you and I this evening, each one of us. It's solemn because of its import. In the human realm, there are many answers to this question. You might say, well, to a young man, is it well with you in business? Are your prospects good? Have you a good position? Are you happy there? And so on. And the answer may well be, yes, it's well. To those growing into years, perhaps drawing near to the time when they will leave the scenes of business, and we might ask, is it well? And the prospect of your retirement and so on and so forth, there are 1,001 considerations of this. In the human realm, but there's only one in the spiritual realm, only one. Is it well with you? Is it well with me, my dear friends, in the light of eternity? Well, we've got to face it. When it will be is not for me to say. My dear friend was taken in early life, what we should term the prime of life. Another is taken And we heard during this past week of one celebrating the 103rd birthday. Yeah? Who can tell? The solemn question, my dear friend, this evening to you and to me is it grand in the life of eternity? We may spend the whole of our lives discarding and disputing these verities that are recorded in the Word of God, that are embraced in the Gospel under which you have been brought the sound of. You may question many, many things, my dear friend, and you may even question the very reality that God has clearly revealed in His Word, that one day you'll have to stand in His presence, and so you may question it. Time will prove it's a reality. Is it well with you in the light of it? Now your friend again was taken in a very brief season. Very brief season. Others laid aside for years upon years. Who can tell? And recently I learned one of our ministers, one of the servants of the Lord, cut down in a moment in the middle of London. Yes. Let none be idly saying I have life before me. And let certainly all my dear friends hesitate before you question the living God. Let none be idly saying I don't believe a word of it. Be an awful awakening, my dear friend. Ah, my own soul craves to be preserved from it. To awaken, and through the hour and article of death where life has left the body and there's an entrance there. The confidence, is it well? Because of the import of it in the reality of it. It's solemn because of the issues of it. For it means, my dear friend, one of two things. Heaven or hell. Pray God may give me grace to be very faithful. In this evening hour, we're dealing with very vital, solemn matters. We've been brought many times, some of us at least, into the presence of death. Another has gone from the midst, and it leaves this searching inquiry, this solemn question. Is it well with thee? I have no hesitation, I'm not going to enlarge upon this as I have said, but I have no hesitation, not a shadow of it, my dear friend, concerning our dear friend. Not a bit. But the question comes, it comes to my soul. Now you say, what, to a minister? Yes, my dear friend. You cannot be so certain upon this matter, is it well? Hast thou the truth within? Hast thou a humble hope? Hast thou a trembling desire? If hast thou a wish so weak that it may be so, does it concern thee? For when the hour and when the medium and when the length of it comes, we've no ordering of that. But when the moment comes, my dear friend, you've no power to prevent. It'll be one moment here and the next moment gone. Question comes when death is in that house, and it's a dead body, it's a child in this case. As I reminded you this morning, it's obviously he's quite a lad. He was carried to his mother, he rested on his mother's knee until it died. It must have been quite young. But be it young or old, my dear friend, it matters not. The issue remains, it's life. Or it's dead, and none of us can escape it. This is the searching inquiry and the solemn inquiry because of the very nature of it. And looking at these things first, we should get beneath it as enabled before we leave it. But this is the question. We read of one, do we not, who it was very well from his estimate. My lands have flourished. I got so much, I don't know where to put it all, the accumulation of my great endeavours and my capabilities. There's only one answer to it, you should have to pull down into the barn and build greater. Forgive me, my dear friend, do something about barns. About the increase wrought by his activity. But I'm not referring to him when I remind you again and go back to the word of this man to deliver. Look at the accumulation. I'll build greater barns and I'll fill them, and when they have reached the capacity that I decide in my own mind, I'll say, soul, you've got enough now. The rest to be done. Take it easy. Don't mind about anybody else. There may be starving people all the way round, but you've got enough. Keep it all to yourself. Sit down quietly, enjoy the fruits of your labor. There's only one word that came from heaven. May have blessed you in poverty and despised it, accepted as his gift. You may have accumulated many things in the literal sense that I won't even stop to enumerate. But I would remind you of this, my dear friend, that the old book says, if riches increase, and they do, will you? Set not your heart upon them. Set not your heart upon them. I knew a man in London, godly man, member of one of our churches, and he was tremendously blessed in God in this. I heard him say personally on more than one occasion he didn't know the extent of his wealth. He was very liberal in his gifts. He was very careful where he made his gifts. But I was in his presence. He didn't direct the words to me personally, but I was in his presence when he said somebody had commented upon his liberal gifts to the cause of God. And he said, friend, you don't know how much grace you need to minister the substance that God has given. The Lord is pleased to bless as it pleases him, and to give to us the accumulation of things. But this is clear. Naked we came into the world, and naked we must go out. That is it. Is it well with these who pass yonder from this scene, where many things have been well, in the human sense, in the literal realm? Is it well with thee, with the life of the hasting approach of eternity? Solemn inquiry, then. To discard it, you do it at your peril, my dear friend. For remember that as you have been favoured, privileged to sit under the sound of the gospel, I don't mean from my lips, but from many others doubtless. Remember, you will be judged according to life and knowledge. That's it. Pray God would give me grace to be faithful as that the blood of none shall ever lay upon my head in relation to my poor ministry. Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy house? Is it well with this dead body? Yes. Yes. No hesitation. There was no ifs and buts, no peradventure. The answer was, I hope so. You know, my dear friends, there are some I have met with, many I've met with, that would even dare before God to suggest to my poor soul that I cannot hope and I cannot expect and I didn't ought to pray for assurance and expect it more than perhaps once in my lifetime. My dear friend, I can't receive it. I cannot receive. My God would have me to know about it. My soul craves to know. And I've only read from this evening to you that portion from Philippians. That's enough for me. And that dear man says, I know. I know. Now, friends, you can't discard this matter. Can't go on. I know not. The morrow's light may see you and I in glory. Is it well? Is it well with me? It applies to the man in the pulpit as to you in the pew. It's a solemn inquiry. Very solemn indeed. But I would rather remind you too that this is a personal inquiry. Personal inquiry. I believe I mentioned to you this morning in that searching consideration that the prophet is not directed here to come and say, is it well with all of you in the household? The Lord doesn't deal that way, sir. Matters not how many there are in your household. He says, is it well with thee? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child? He didn't say, is it well with all three of you? She cannot answer for her husband, though she may have the witness. Oh yes, I've had the witness. I'm satisfied about my dear friend. But my dear friend, this inquiry has come personally. I cannot answer for you, friend. In the vital aspect of it, in the solemn, is it well with thee? You will have to stand before God, friend, and you will have to stand for yourself, not for me or any other, so that it becomes very personal, as all matters are personal in the realm of divine grace, and as they will ultimately, they are not yet, but they will ultimately become essentially and equally personal in the realm of judgment. You have a manifestation of that. I've referred your minds to it more than once in the parable of the virgin. I know there is a sense in which you may consider it collectively, but I believe, my dear friend, it has a personal application there. Without going into the details, for I mustn't digress, but the word was, I never knew you. I never knew you. My dear friend, I know nothing more awful. And to hear those words from him, he sitteth upon the throne as I stand before him. I never knew you. Ah, so it's a searching, it's a solemn, but it's a personal inquiry. How stands the case, my soul, with thee? The heaven that I present is clear. Is thou the proof of it? Let no young person say, I've my life before me. My dear young friend is gone. That is, humanly speaking, his life before him, so far as anyone could see, surely, and nobody would question it. And let none say it depends upon anything. Is it well with the person? It must be, friend. As I have reminded you many, many times, the sacrifice of Christ, the mercies, the blessings of Christ, all that Christ is essentially possible. You can read it through the scriptures from cover to cover. He deals with a collective assembly of people, yes. All who were given to him of the Father, as John 17 declares it. But I say he deals with them individually. You have abundant evidence of this, my dear. Even in the span of your life, and I know not where you've all been thus far in your life. Did you ever know yet, leaving out warfare, did you ever know yet an incident where a whole village was slain in the night? Let alone a town. You hear of one here, one over there, one there. So it is in Galicia, the town. Is it well? Oh, I say the solemnity and the personal aspect of this, my dear friend, you cannot afford to lay your head down to rest this night before without you have some evidence. God, I care not how small it may be. Some gracious evidence that it is well. Just one other thought before I do want to get to the underlying feature of this, which I haven't even mentioned yet. Just one other thought. This aspect of the well here, my dear friends, is from God's standard and not yours. I say this aspect of the well here is God's standard and not yours. In the human realm, in the unregenerate days, we had our own conceptions. As man today out in the world has the same conception as to what he considers to be well. And he'll tell you very plainly and in a very few words, you needn't worry about me, I can deal with this matter. I know what's needed. He knows it all. This question, my dear friend, is it well according to God's view? But then, my dear friend, it will not be a matter of satisfying yourself. It will be a matter of satisfying things. Unless you conform to the pattern of his devising, then, my dear friend, you fall. I've referred to the man in the gospel. One might refer to the rich man and Lazarus, and you've got it there. One might refer to many, many others. But what profit, my dear friend, one wants to refer to you and to me in this day? We've been singing that lovely hymn, 'Tis with the righteous well. Drawn, of course, based upon the precious word of our God, say ye to the righteous, it shall be well with them. Because God ordered according to his standard of the well. Of the well. Is it well with them? Now I must come to the underlying feature of this. For the very inquiry, my dear friends, here suggests a need. The very question propounds to us and is sensitive. The prophet of God didn't send the message to the woman and say, don't worry, it is well. He sent the inquiry, is it well? Which implies to my poor mind a trust was revealed and thought of the Spirit of God that it wasn't always so. And so it is, my friend. The inquiry is upon that ground. We were not born into this world in a condition that is well before God. For we were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. We were born without God and without hope, inheritors of that which our first parents had procured for us, which was a corrupt nature, that fought against God, had no desire for God, and certainly had no condition to meet God. Had it been so, there would have been no need, my dear friend, for the sacrifice of Christ. I am come that they might have life. Then they were dead. It's the implication. So here in the question, is it well with it? For it never was at one time. It hasn't always been well. Is it well with it now? So that the reminder here is a reminder that we are sinners in need of salvation. We're in a condition by nature before God that He cannot look upon us, let alone receive us. We're in a position upon which, into which we have brought ourselves by our folly, into which we are under the just condemnation of a holy law. And the law demands its life. There is nothing, my dear friends, that can remove that condemnation by meeting it. So Christ declared, when he came, he didn't come to abrogate a law. He came to honor it, to meet it. Oh, the glory of this, my dear friend, who by wondrous grace have been made put into a position where it is well with them. Christ has dealt with that judgment that rested upon them. Christ has met every claim in the sacrifice of Himself. Nothing short of it was sufficient. The law demanded it. And even though He was the co-equal and co-eternal Son of God, He had no power to abrogate the law. He gave it. It's not in the plain of puny man where he can make a law one day and abrogate it the next and perhaps bring it back again the next just to suit his whim and fancy. No, God has given the law once and for all. It's never been altered. It's never been abrogated. And I say again, even the eternal Son of God, veiled in human flesh, has no power, though He resigned not any of His power as He became like unto His brethren. He became a man indeed. He had no power to lay aside the law and say it doesn't apply to me. Even if He had, I'm only supposing for the moment, even if He had, His answer would have been, this child of mine is under the law. And to redeem him from under that condemnation, I must come there and put myself under the law to release him. Now that is grace. Wondrous, glorious, invincible grace, sovereign grace, everything else is grace. From trust to love. For the Father conceived the plan. Where's man that could have conceived the plan? With all the capabilities of men all put together, I didn't believe there's one that could have even conceived the plan, let alone put it into execution. But, almighty friends, you that have been made the recipients of grace in its saving power, do let us stop and think again what wonderful things you've done. I'm sure we haven't grasped yet. I'm sure we haven't responded. Oh, I know, I've said it myself, dear friends, but oh, it doesn't satisfy to just say, well, the day will come when we shall praise him as we ought. I long sometimes, not always. Natural heart does come up on me sometimes. But I trust there are times when I go to his dear feet and tell him, if I could only praise him as he's worthy. Not as not even as I ought, but as he's worthy to receive. He said to the man, Jesus said to the man in the gospel, that he dealt so lovingly, graciously with, and the man responded, oh, he said, let me stop you. The reaction, of course, to every heart that is blessed, that is great. Jesus said, look, go home to your friend and tell them what I've done that day. No. Go home to thy friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done. What great things. And if my dear Redeemer calls them great things, my dear friend, what should I call them? He procured them and he bestowed them. They're not his in that sense. They're mine. And he calls them great. What do you call them, friend? What do I call them? Wondrous grace. Oh, I love it. I love to try and speak a little about it. When the Spirit of the Lord enables to be enabled to glance only at the glories that Christ has wrought. And having finished the work, seated at the right hand, seated. The emblem, the symbol in divine truth of contentedness. Even in the human realm, when you come home perhaps from a hard day's labour, drop into a chair and say, thank you, Mr. Well, this isn't on the same plane as he's seated. My Jesus is content. Not only that he's saved his people, but he's going to gather them home. Friends, I've been thinking about that in connection with our dear friend. He saved him and now seated there, waiting for the moment, and when the moment came, he said, John, come home. Gone. This is grace. This is salvation. This, my dear friend, and this only, is what fits you and I to be brought into this designation of it being well. Only to be saved. An old-fashioned thief. I can't change it, my dear friend, while I have breath to speak it. And as the Lord enables to speak a little about it, I don't want to change it. No other gospel for me. I'm entirely with the dear hymn writer when he said, the only gospel we can own sets Jesus Christ upon his throne. I glory in the grace, the wonder of grace, yes, but I glory in it. It can lift the sinner out of the prospect of that, the certainty of that, the unquestionable aspect of the deservedness of that. And look upon him as he does, thou art all clean. There is no that will make you well. Not well in body, not well in health, not well in pocket, not well in prospect, not well in friends and companions, and so on and so forth, but well in Christ, in the prospect of the hereafter. This brief span of life's sojourn. Dear John, it's only been the matter of roughly 30 years. What is it compared with eternity? As we say, as we shall be saying, at least if I don't, friend, to touch and will on Wednesday, what is our life? It is but a vapor that soon passes away. As the morning dew when the sun appears, is gone. But there in the living Christ, in the crucified Redeemer, he came to seek and to save the lost, the hell-deserving, the wretched, the corrupt, the defiled. No words are bad enough or strong enough to speak of. He displayed your condition and mine by nature, and no words can begin to describe the glory. Is it well with it? Do these things have any meaning? Is there a secret recess within thine heart where there is that jewel of divine grace that can never be taken away? The only way, my dear friend, I repeat, in which it can be well with it, it's got to be a living reality. I bless God for the gracious hope. I bless God for the weakest, feeblest desire, but all I want the reality of grace. I want him to say, as David cried, I know he lost it, I know it's a different matter in one sense, but nevertheless the words apply. As he cried and yearned and pleaded, say unto my soul, I am thine. What you need to know in this evening, Alison. What is all the wealth in the banks and in the world, as I quoted it to you not many times, even in my brief sojourn among you, what is a man for? What is a man for? It's in the form of a question again, and you are required to give the answer, what is a man for? Again, the whole world, it's not possible, but even if it is, man has attained to great heights of possessions, positions, prospects, dignity, and so on, and all that earth can unfold. But if he had everything there was under the whole canopy of heaven, what is he profiting? If he lose his own soul, what can a man give in exchange for his soul? That's what you and I got to face. It isn't a question of being even blessed of God, and I'll bring it up to its height. Being blessed of God, to be enabled to expound the scriptures, to be enabled to give an eloquent dialogue, I was going to say, upon the doctrines of grace and expand them to their depths and heights. It isn't a matter, my dear friend, of attending every service that there was available in the house of God. It isn't a matter of spending every day and every hour of the day on your knees in prayer. It isn't a matter of reading the scriptures morning, noon or night, or anything else you like to add. One question am I in Christ? Is Christ in me the hope of glory? As the apostle puts it. And he puts it in the assertion of it. Christ in you the hope of glory. That'll make you well. You may have a very feeble body physically. You may suffer much pain and suffering in the bodily realm. But if you have a health, my dear friend, in divine grace, something to be covered in. Oh, this comes under the divine appointment. And these divine appointments somehow, I believe, are ordered in this respect, I know, in the deeper sense of it. And certainly, my dear young friend, the time had come. And the Lord said, your time is finished, John, from home. And I believe the Lord appoints these things to give us a reminder. I don't know exactly how many times I've stood at the open grave and laid the dear saint of God to rest, but many, many. But each recurring one brings the same return, a reminder. They're gone, you can't call them back, they never will come back. And when the time comes for you, you'll be gone. There's no question. They can bring in all their, I'm going to call them doctrines that are not worthy of the name. They can bring in all their suggestions and their tenets and so on and so forth of purgatory, that so long as I pay enough for the church to have sufficient prayers offered for me while I'm in the flames of purgatory, preparing myself and fitting myself to go at last into heaven. Oh, what an awful task. What an awful thing even to stand and suggest. Oh, God save me for anything like that, from deluding any person. And thousands and thousands are paying out and paying out. And I hear people say, I heard one earlier this week, saying to me, I went, I forget now where it was, some big Roman Catholic cathedral. I said, it was beautiful, beautiful. So did you ever been in Westminster Cathedral in London? I've been in there many times. I don't know whether they finished, but I know they estimated themselves it would take 50 years. They were going to line the whole of it with solid marble. Where's the money coming from? Where's the money coming from? Out of the pockets of a poor soul that could do with it to provide a meal. And they swallowed it up. It's all they want. Money. No purgatory, my dear. We're either in Christ or we're out of Christ. Is it well this evening hour, my dear? I never want to be dramatic, God save me from that. But I want to get to realities, solemn realities. I know not, I may never have occasion to speak to you again, but if this is the last time, I'll be faithful to set the gospel before you. Jesus only can do helpless sinners good, but he can, and he does. Ah, my dear friend, yes. Is it well with thee? Yes, she said. Yes. Is it well with your husband? Yes, I know. He told me we've conversed together. That's how I know. I can't look in his heart. I can't estimate anything there, but he's told me. And that's enough, I know. Is it well with the child? Yes. The child couldn't talk. I said this morning, I'm not going to enter into the sphere of infant salvation. That may come another time, perhaps that's better in the matter of Bible study. But we have our definite views upon that question. It is well with thee. Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child this evening? But be well assured of this. My Jesus in all, shall have the preeminence. And that preeminence has got to start in this evil heart of mine, And he's going to have preeminence there and break down that stubborn, rebellious heart. And it was here, friend. It was here. I can enter, I've said it more than once, and I would repeat it, I can enter into the word. The hymn writer, I fought with hand uplifted high. But he had the preeminence, bless his dear name. He brought me down to his dear feet, pleading, wrestling, suing upon the ground of that rich and atoning sacrifice. And I hope before his holy presence in this evening hour, I have the witness. May God confirm it, that it is well when he calls. Is it well with thee?